That's it, everybody. Oh, David, computer savvy. Baruch Hashem. Better you than me.
On my recording yesterday, you were cut off in the middle. Was that what happened in the shift?
But right at the end, we went to the very, very, very end. That was the thing. So
Right.
normally I try and wind down when I see there's like a minute to go, but we went to the very end. Okay, so let's recap. There is one point that I'd like to examine today. And then, as mentioned, I'd like to go back and do some chazara for the coming days until the end of this month. We mentioned yesterday there's a principle that one does not make a Shana Me'uberes on the 30th day of Nisan. Right? We call
Of
that
other.
of Adar, excuse me. Thank you, Rabbi Larry. We call that the swing day. It's the day that we don't know, will it turn out to be Nisan? Will it turn out to be Adar? That's not the day, therefore, you make Shana Me'uberes. The big question was, well, what happens if you did make it a Shana Me'uberes? And we had a discussion, we had a machlokes. So the question came through in the Gemara that one moment, if indeed you can make, at least b'dieved, a Shana Me'uberes at the end of Chodesh Adar, can you imagine the confusion that this will cause in Klal Yisrael? Why will it cause confusion? Because everybody's been learning Hilchos Pesach since Purim already, 15th of Adar or 14th of Adar. For 2 weeks straight, people have been learning the halachas and getting themselves ready for Pesach. And then all of a sudden, you announce at the end of the month, sorry, mistake. Next month is actually not Nisan after all, but really it is Adar Sheni. So people will lose trust. People will say, we don't know, quite frankly, whether we're coming or going. And if that's the case, they'll be mezalzel in Chometz. They'll keep Pesach in the wrong month. When it is Pesach, they'll think it's not Pesach. When it's not Pesach, they'll think it is Pesach. Bekitzer, it'll be a balagan. So the Gemara's answer in the Maskana was that no, it will not be a balagan. Because everybody appreciates that to make a Shalom Uberes involves a whole complex calculation. And if the announcement comes through last minute, then people will say, fine, we have not lost trust. Rather, we appreciate that apparently Beis Din must have deliberated long and hard and they can only reach the final calculation now, and we're okay with that. Fine, that's the Maskana of the Gemara. That's the end of the sugya. Now, I had a big kasha on this Gemara. And Baruch Hashem, I see that Tosis asks the kasha. What is the question? And this is what we began mentioning yesterday, but we got cut off. And that is,
Boy, that's a shame.
we're only mentioning this. We're having a discussion in our sugya because we're busy talking about making a Shana Me'uberes on the last day of Adar. So that's the whole shaila. It's the last day. It's the 30th of Adar. You can make a Shana Me'uberes. You can't make a Shana Me'uberes. Lechatchila, b'dieved, backwards and forwards. So what's the Gemara's big question? Oh, if you make a Shana Me'uberes so late, then people will lose trust in Beis Din because they've already been learning the halachas of Pesach. One moment. If you're worried that people will lose trust because they've already begun learning Hilchos Pesach, when did they begin learning Hilchos Pesach? Where's the
After
question?
Purim.
Purim time, 30 days before. So one moment. If you're worried that people will lose trust, at least that was the Gemara's kasha, then why on earth is this only a discussion with regard to making Shalom Uberes on the very last day of Adar? L'chaira, it should be a problem if you make Shalom Uberes from Purim onwards. Nobody ever suggested that that was a problem. If on the day after Purim, on the 15th, 16th, 17th, 20th, 23rd, 24th, 27th, 28th, Beis Din would convene, make a Shana Me'uberes, nobody batted an eyelid. When did we say we have a whole discussion? Oh, if it's the 30th day of Adar. What's so special about that? It's the swing day. So what's the Gemara worried about? Ah, but it's so last minute. People have already been learning the halachas of Pesach. It'll cause confusion. Excuse me. It'll cause confusion, according to that, from Purim already. So why is the Gemara only asking it about Lamed Adar? Nobody suggested that there's a problem in making a Shonam Uberis after Purim. We only suggested that it might be a discussion with regard to the 30th of Adar. That's true. But after Purim, nobody said that's a problem.
Maybe the issue is not the learning, but the issur of eating chametz when it's a suffix.
No, but you see, the Gemara clearly mentioned the halacha of learning the halachas 30 days before Chag, which comes from Purim. Have a look at the very bottom Tosas. It's a very brief Tosas, but in fact, you'll see that's exactly what Tosas is asking. The last Tosas on the Omid says, Mechti. Mi Puria lePescha. From Purim to Pesach, people have already begun preparing for Yom Tov. Says Tosas, Amasnisin de Idios. There is a Mishnah in Idios. What does Idios mean? Anybody learned the Masechta of Idios? Idios is a very fascinating Masechta. Why? Because the Masechta of Idios discusses several topics which have no connection to each other whatsoever. Idios, from the word Eidos, is a number of halachic statements presented by Tanoim, where they said that we can testify that we saw the following halacha paskened in Bezdin, we saw the following halacha, we saw this halacha, we saw that halacha. So as you can imagine, the Masechta is full of totally unrelated halachas, various Tanoim giving testimony that they saw this halacha being paskened in Bezdin. So one of the halachas is in fact with regard to Shana Mu'ubaris. Says Tosas, Amasnis in the Idios. There's a Mishnah in Idios, the Maisi, the Perakanachnokim, which is bought later on in the Masechta in Daf Pezayin, and it says, Heim Heidu. They testified there, these Tanoim, Shema Abrin Esashono Kol Ador, comma. They testified that you can be Ma'abr the Shon of the whole of Ador. Beginning of Adar, middle of Adar, end of Adar, forget the 30th day, that's the complication. But the whole month, no problem. But if that's the case, says Tosfos, have a motzi la'akshu, yay. Well, then you could have asked the same question. And Tosfos doesn't ask it. Tosfos doesn't answer it. If I've got a Mishnah in Idios which says that you're clearly allowed, lechatchila, no problem whatsoever, to be ma'abr the Shana, any time in Chodesh Adar, forget the 30th day, that was a complicated swing day. But the whole Adar, we have testimony, the Tanoim said, and it's perfectly okay, to be ma'abr the Shana in Adar. Well, says Tosas, well, if that's the case, we could really have asked a kasha on that Mishnah. How can you possibly be ma'abr the Shana the whole of Adar, including after Purim? Surely that's going to cause confusion because people have been learning the halachas from Purim onwards. So precisely the question that we asked, Tosas is asking, I'm curious, for those who have art scroll in front of them, do art scroll point out this kasha? And even more importantly, does anybody give a teretz? Do art scroll point out that the question really should have been asked on the whole of Adar, not just on the 30th day?
I'm just reading. I'm sorry.
Which Tosas are asking? That's what Tosas is. That's exactly Tosas kasha.
It's really just the second half of Adar.
They bring it.
Correct. If the Mishnah says you can ma'abad the Shana the whole of Adar, and the Gemara
14 days.
At least the second half of Adar should be problematic because people already got into Pesach mood.
Yes, they quote Tosafists really.
They do quote Tosas. You want to read it out to us? You want to read it out, Rav Yosef?
Yeah. If people assume the Pesach will fall at its normal time once they hear a Pesach lecture on Purim, why may the court extend the year any time after Purim?
Right.
Intercalation, that's adding this extra, during any part of those 2 weeks might cause people to observe Pesach at the wrong time. see Tosafos and Oroch Laner, who discuss this problem. See also Riyad Ramah, who discusses a related problem, but they don't actually bring the discussion.
Right, right. Okay, it's a kasha. So, Rabbi Isai, it's a kasha. We are going to now press pause. The next sugya, although it's related to our sugya, but it's a different half of the sugya, and I would like, with your permission, to go back now and spend some time doing chazara. It's been a lengthy sugya, and it's been a very important sugya. In fact, there's been a number of sugyas to go all the way back to Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Daf Yud Amud Aleph. We have been discussing now the concept of Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShanah for a while now. And in fact, the sugya carries on. So next time we learn, Bezras Hashem, we'll continue with it. But let's not forget that we've seen many, many sugyas along the way. That's what's so beautiful about Sanhedrin, is that there's so many different halachas being discussed. So if you go back to that Yud Amud Aleph, you will see there's a Gemara. It's about a third of the way up. The first word on the line is Odom. Odom Korov.
I have a possible answer to your question before we start.
Okay.
It's a Kal v'chomer. If you're allowed to ma'aber the Chodesh on the 30th with only 2 weeks left, so Kal v'chomer, if you would have done it 2 weeks before when there's plenty of time, you wouldn't have an issue. So they waited to the last possible second to include everything. Because, you understand?
No. So
they're saying like this. They're saying, what are you going to do now? It's already Nisan. It's the 30th. And we're going to allow the Tamar. But, you know, what about all the people that planned? It's not an issue.
1 second. Taisa's problem is that we are only querying the opinion that says that you can make a Shonam Uberes on the 30th day of Adar, which is a machlokes amoiraim.
Correct.
There's Tosfos. What was the question? How can the amoira say you can make a shonam uberes on the 30th day of Adar? It's going to cause confusion. Says Tosfos, I don't understand. Forget the amoiraim. 500 years before the amoiraim, the Mishnah was written. Forget the amoiraim, who discuss the technicality of the 30th Adar. There's a Mishnah that predated the amoiraim by 500 years that says you can make Shalom Uberes the whole Adar. On that Mishnah, we should have asked this question.
So here it comes. So my answer is like this. If you would have asked the question like you're saying right after Purim, then the next question would be, and what about if we wait, what about on the 30th day? Can we then do it?
It's the same answer. It's the same question.
No, because now it's even closer. Now it doesn't matter.
If the answer is that Klal Yisrael trusts the Beis Din and they understand that there's complicated calculations and it takes time. So if it takes time, whenever you come up with a conclusion, we have trust in you. The question is a fair question. The teretz is a fair teretz. But why is the Gemara homing in on an Amoira, which happens to be a Machloikas, should have asked it on the missionary. Okay, back to our discussion, or at least let's go back to do Chazorah. You have that line in the Gemara where it says Odom Korov Eitzel Mamoinai?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Makos Bishloisha. So this was the last sugya that we saw before the beginning of Kiddush HaChodesh.
Where is that? How many lines down is that?
It's about, 20 lines from the top of the Omud on Daf Yud Amud Aleph. First word on the line, Odom. Odom Korov.
Got it.
Makos Bishloisha. So the Mishnah, right at the beginning of the Masechta, Sanhedrin Daf Beis Amud Aleph says that if you have a case of Makos, where Bezdin have to adjudicate with regard to somebody being Chayav Malkos, then you have to have three Dayanim. Says the Gemara, Mino Halamili, how do you know that? That's been the question time and time again. Every line of the Mishnah, Omer Avuna Omakro. So Avuna says it's a Pasuk. Where's the Pasuk? Because it says V'shvatum. That parasha is the parasha of Makos. V'shvatum is double loshen. They shall judge them. So if it's double, obviously we know you have to have two dayanim, shnayim. But we know v'ein bezdin shakul. We know you can never have an equal number in bezdin. Moisifim aleim oid echad. You add one. So it's no longer two dayonim, hari kan shleisha. That's where we know you've got to have three dayonim. Says the Gemara Elomeato. Well, now, if you're going to be medayek every double lashon in the pasuk, well, there's more than one. Because it says, v'hitzdiku shnayim, v'hirshiyu shnayim. That same pasuk says, v'hitzdiku, they will find one person innocent, they will find one person wicked, in other words, guilty. So it says the word they, and they three times. So if that's the case, it's not just two, then plus one to make it an odd number, but it's actually three times two, it's six. Three times it uses the plural lashon. So l'chor, that should tell me that you need six dayanim, and if you add one, harikan shivo. So then it should be seven dayanim necessary, not just three. Says the Gemara, no. Those words of v'hitzdiku and v'hirshiyu are booked up. Why are they booked up? Because we learn something else from there. What do we learn? Ahu mi boyalei kedu'ula. Those words are needed to teach us Ula's principle. What does Ula teach us? Da'oma Ula. Remez le'edim zoymimin min ha'toira minayim. Ula says, how do I know? Where's the remez to the whole concept of edim zoymimin? So what do you mean, what's the remez? It's a mefurash pasuk. Says the Gemara, remez le'edim zoymimin? Question mark. V'hoksiv. It says absolutely explicitly, kasher zoma. El or rather, no. What his question was is, I know the general principle of Eidim Zeimimin, but there's a specific halacha. Remez le'edim Zeimimin sheloikin minayin. How do I know that on occasion, the classic punishment for Eidim Zeimimin is, of course, you give the Eidim exactly that which they wanted to inflict on the victim. But there are cases, which we're not going to discuss now, where for technical reasons, you cannot give them the same punishment. So instead, you give them malchus. How do you know that? How do you know? It's a Mefurash Mishnah, but how does the Mishnah know? What's the source of the Mishnah? Maybe you've got to give the Edim the same punishment that they were trying to inflict. And if for whatever reason it's not possible, then finish, they're off the hook. Who told you that there's this alternative punishment called malchus? And the answer is, it's learned from the pasuk we just quoted. Diksev v'itztiku es ha-tzadik v'hirshiyu es ha-rasha. They make the tzadik innocent, they make the rasha wicked, and then it says, you give malchus. That's what it carries on. Says the Gemara, how do you understand that pasuk? Mishom, just because v'itztiku es ha-tzadik v'hirshiyu es ha-rasha, does that mean v'hoyo im bin hakeis ha-rasha? Now you've got to smite the Rasha. How do you read this pasuk? What does it mean? Because I made one innocent and I made one guilty, why do I have to mention the fact that one person's innocent? Just say, two people come to Beis Din, well, the one who's guilty gets makas. Why does the Torah have to say such a tremendous arichus loshen? That the guilty man is found guilty and the innocent man is found innocent. What is this all referring to? Ela? Rather, the Torah is therefore hinting to a whole story. Which story is being hinted to? Elo, Eidim shehirshiyu es hatzadik. We're talking about Eidim who made the innocent man guilty. How did they make the innocent man guilty? By testifying falsely against him. That's the Eidim Zeimimin. V'osu Eidi achrina. And Eidim, another set of Eidim, come along. V'hitzdiku es hatzadik d'me'ikara. And they make the person who was really innocent all along, they make him back innocent. In other words, they are mazim, the Eidim Zeimimin. How can you dare testify that you were in such a place, etc., etc., because actually you're with us in an alternative location, and the person that you're calling the Rasha is in fact not a Rasha at all. He's a tzaddik all along. He was never Mechalal Shabbos. How can you tell us? You saw him drive a car on Shabbos afternoon in Bet Shemesh. On that Shabbos afternoon, you were with us in Yerushalayim. So it turns out that who's actually the Rasha? It's not the person that they were testifying about. It's in fact the Eidim themselves. They're the biggest Rashaim. V'shavinu lahanach Rashaim. and you make them into Rishoyim. That's what the Torah means with this very lengthy Lashon. The innocent man is found innocent. The guilty man is found guilty. What does all that mean? It means the innocent man who really should have been innocent all along, but the Eidim were trying to make him guilty, but eventually he turns out to be innocent. The Rasha, meaning the Eidim Zaymamin, they turn out to be the Rishoim. And how does the Torah carry on? V'hoya im bin hakos harasha, you give him Malkus. That is the source of the Malkus for the Eidim Zaymamin in the event that you cannot give them the classic kasher zaman punishment, which means, therefore, that the words v'hitzdiku es atzadik and v'hirshiu es harasha are booked up. They're booked up. They're not available for a drasha because they're already used for the drasha. So how many words are really spare for a drasha? Only one. V'shvotum, and they will judge. That's Lashon Rabbim. It means two dayonim plus one to make it an odd number. You get to the magic number three. Says the Gemara, one moment. V'tepoklei miloisane. Why do I need this whole lengthy, complicated drasha? To teach me that Eidim Zaymamin in fact get Malkus on occasion. Isn't it obvious? The Torah says, Loisane, we know it's one of the Aseres Adibras, do not give false testimony. And the general rule is, unless you're told otherwise, that whenever there's a Loisase in the Torah, you always get Malkus. For example, the Torah says, do not eat Nevela. It doesn't spell out the punishment. If it doesn't spell out the punishment, the rule is Malkus. If somebody eats Nevela or Chazir or Bosa B'chalov, he gets Malkus. It says the magic word Loi. Here also it says Loisane. So if you violate the Issa and you give false testimony, isn't it obvious you get Malkus? Why do I need the whole complicated drosh? And the answer is that no. Mishum da have a lav she'im boi maisa. We know, famous principle, very negeya, this is Inyona de Yoma, one of the classic examples of a lav, she'em boi maisa, where there is no act, is of course having chometz in your house. The Torah says, lo yiroe locho chometz, you must not have chometz in your house. It says there the word lo yiroe. And what happens if somebody does have chometz in their house? He will not get malchus. Because there's no act, it's just having it. Having is not an act. By the way, open parenthesis, the Rambam paskens that if you bake chometz on Pesach, then you will get Malkus. Because now you have chometz through an act. But if it's just a piece of bread that's lying around in your house and you didn't bother getting rid of it, well, that has now exists in your house with no act. Says the Gemara, so too false testimony, because Eidos is Dibur. And we always consider Dibur as a non-Maisa. Speech, with regard to these halachas, is not considered a Maisa. And therefore, even though the Torah says, Loisane, don't give false testimony, but that's not a reason to give Malkus, because it's a Lav She'im Bo'i Maisa. That's why I need the extra drosha to tell me, albeit it's a Lav She'im Bo'i Maisa, but over here you will get Malkus.
Eating chometz on Pesach is kores or malchus?
Eating chometz is kores, because the Torah spells out that it's kores, correct. Says the Gemara, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru Be'esrim V'shloisha. Even though the first opinion maintained that you need three dayanim, but actually Rabbi Shmuel says 23. My timer, the Rabbi Shmuel. Why does Rabbi Shmuel say 23? What's his source? So the Gemara says, Omar Abaya Asya Rosha Rosha Mechayve Mises. We have Gzeira Shava. It says the word Rosha Siv Hocha. It says over here with regard to Malkus V'hoyoim bin Hakris Rosha. So it uses the word Rosha. V'ksiv Hosam. And it says with regard to the death penalty, Ashehu Rosha Lomus. So we have the principle of the Gzeira Shava. Mala Halon, just like over there, Be'esrim Meshloisha, Afkam Be'esrim Meshloisha. If you need 23 for Chayvei Mises, you have 23 also for Malkus, by virtue of the fact that there's a Gzeira Shava. Rava says, no, it's not from the Gzeirah Shava. Rather, Malkus b'mokoyim misa oimedes. This was a tremendous chidush. There was a discussion exactly how to learn it, but let's go with Rashi for the moment. Malkus is actually in place of misa. It's a form of misa. Rashi says this frightening loshen, that essentially when a person is over a lav, he deserves to be killed. You were brought in this world to serve Hashem. If you don't abide by the rules, then what are you doing here? In place of Misa, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there is a certain type of Misa which is called Malkus. Sometimes the Misa comes in skila form or cherev or hereg or whatever it may be. There is a certain form of Misa which essentially should be full out death. The Torah says we'll call it Malkus. Therefore, it's not a Gezeira Shava learned from Misa, but rather this is actually considered a form of Misa itself. So once the Torah tells you that for Misa you need 23 Dayanim, well, obviously for Malkus, because Malkus is in fact a form of Misa.
On this point, you know, in all the other Chayav Misa, Skilas Rebbe Herig Vechenik, until the person dies, that's the right. You don't stone him just for a certain amount of time until he dies. But on Malkus, I don't know if they can call it Misa, because if he dies, he dies. But it's a certain amount of Malkus, 36, whatever.
That's going to be the Gemara's question coming up. That's going to be the Gemara's question, that why do we have to have a whole evaluation? How many Malkus to give him? Let him die. I mean, if you tell me that Malkus is a type of Misa, then let him die. Give him 100 Malkus. If true, if you're telling me that in fact Malkus is a certain type of Misa, because essentially, when a person is over a lav, he really, in actuality, deserves death, and this is a form of death, as it were, says the Gemara, if that's true, Yochi umdana lomali. Why do I need an umdana? What's an umdana? An umdana is exactly as we just said, an evaluation. It's an evaluation. That when the person deserves Malkus, sorry, just 1 second, the camera's a bit unclear.
Just turn the camera on and off, Rob.
Yeah, no, I think it should be better now. 1 second. Yeah, that should be a bit better. So
now
why do we
have to now make... everything is becoming clearer.
Now it's all clear. So why do we have to have a whole evaluation in Beis Din? How many Malkus can he take
without dying? We want to keep him alive.
Right. So that's the Gemara's kasha. If you tell me Malkus is in place of Misa, says the Gemara, umdana lomali, limchaya, let's give him Malkus, and if he dies, well, then let him die. V'imayis, if he dies, lemus, let him die. Omalei, so he answered back, no. Omakro, we have a special passage to teach us that with regard to Malkus, we've absolutely got to keep him alive. V'nikle ochicho le'einecho. We call the person who gets Malkus your brother, which means ki mochis, whilst you're beating him, agaba dechaya mochis. It's got to be on the back of a live person. 1 second. Eloho de Tanya, but we have learned in a braisa, omduhu lekabel esrim. If you estimate that he can only get 20 malkus, then ein makin oisoi ala makus aru'uyis lehishtalish. You only give him makus if it's a multiple of 3. 20 is not a multiple of 3. So therefore, if he's evaluated for 20, how many are we going to give him?
18.
Not 20, 18. V'kamohein, how many is that? Tamani, 3. Tamani, like the word shmoine, 3 esrei. 18. Why? Why are you downgrading it? Upgrade it. Limchaya esrim v'choda. Let's, in fact, beat him 21 times, because you've got to have a multiple of 3. That's true. And what are you worried about? That maybe he'll die? V'chi mais. And if he dies, b'hach choda. And if he dies with that extra 21st beating, Limosa, let him die. The Hoki Mochis Agaba Dechaya Kamochis. Because if you're telling me that there's a requirement that whilst I hit him, he's got to be alive, well, that 21st Mako, although that may well kill him off, but at least he was alive at the time that I gave him the beating. So what's the problem? Omale, no. It's not sufficient for him to be alive at the time of the beating. He's actually also got to be alive after the beating. Omakro, v'nikle ochicho leinecho, achar, sheloko, even after you smite him, ochicho bo'ino, we require him to still be considered your brother, v'leka, that won't be the case. So, it's a very, very strange halacha, perhaps a little bit difficult to understand. On the one hand, malchus is considered a form of misa, and at the same time, the Torah is extremely makbir that he must not die as a result of the malchus, so it's not quite the same as misa. But either way, it's enough in place of misa for the Gemara to say, that's why I need 23 dayanim, not because of gzeirah shavah, but rather, this is the rule. If misa requires 23 dayanim, then so too malchus also does, because malchus is in fact a form of misa.
Yeah, but now if they, after all this conversation, can't they question that fact that malchus is not a form of misa?
No, that's the Gemara's kasha. That was the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara's concluding it is a form of misa. That's the paradox over here. It's a form of misa with a requirement that he doesn't actually die.
So how is that a form of misa? That's like saying it's a form of food that as long as you don't eat it.
No, it's in place of misa. It means essentially you deserve to die. The Torah, in place of misa, gives you an alternative punishment, which means you must not die. But essentially, this is what you deserve. It's not that it's a lesser form of aver and you don't deserve to die. You deserve to die. In place of that, the Torah, with Rei Rachmonus, has, as it were, watered it down to the extent.
Then why did we need this whole conversation? If from the beginning they said you're high of misa, but why did we need a whole conversation to prove that he had to be alive? In other words,
We're trying to work out why you need 23 dayanim. You need 23 dayanim because it's comparable to misa. And that's the shaila. In what way is it comparable to misa? The answer is because it's in place of misa. Well, if it really is in place of misa, let the guy die. No. It's in place of misa on the one hand. Therefore, you can learn out 23 dayanim. But there is this stipulation that he mustn't actually die during or immediately after. Okay, we're going to stop over here.
And one second. And on other halachas where it's actually chayav misa, like skilas reba hebrachet, how do we know that the Torah? Huh?
That's 23 dayanim. That's meforish in the
Psalm. No, but how do we know that those particular averas, you definitely go further than malchus because the Torah says so? It's midoraisa.
Right, 100%. Where there is an actual death penalty, the Torah spells it out. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we have 2 days left. Be'ezus Hashem on the zman, so we're going to have to get our skates on tomorrow. We'll start over here, Daf Yud on the base, and we're going to have to try and do 2 daf in 2 days, Mitzvah Hashem of Chazara, all being well.